A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to A Woman's View on KSL News Radio. I'm so pleased to have Michelle Arnold with me this week, professor of physics at Weber State University. Charlotte Jessup is here, president of Smedley Financial. And Luz Lewis-Perez is with me, director of development and programs for the National Kidney Foundation for Utah and Idaho. I read an article this week that I shared with you that I want to bring it up almost to send this positive vibe into the universe so it might come true for me. It's about most Americans living within 18 miles of their mothers. Now, when I grew up, I could not leave the state of Pennsylvania fast enough. I love my parents. I don't know what was wrong with me. I could not fly the coop fast enough. And I moved 3,000 miles away. And my sister went to Florida. We spread, you know, across the country. But I pray in my little black heart that my children will stay close to me. I have one daughter who lives in Tokyo, and I only get to see her once a year, and I miss her desperately. And I just pray that they find the life that makes them happy here close to me in the state of Utah. But what did you think when you read that article, Charlotte?
Well, I have lived close to my mom for my entire life. You know, I maybe moved 15 miles away was the furthest I've ever lived from my parents. But I feel the same way, Amanda. I feel that connectivity with my family, and I want them close by, not just being close to my parents, but having my own kids and grandchildren close to me. I watch my kids, and I think they would have a hard time moving away from their family as well.
Yeah. So your kids are close to you?
Yes, they are.
My sister's two children, now grown with children of their own, both moved to the little town. When she left Florida, they both followed her. And they each bought houses right on the same street where she lives. And I just said, Connie, you did something right. Your kids want to be so close to you. And she gets to be around her grandkids. So that is my dream. Michelle, what about you?
I don't think I gave much thought one way or the other when I was growing up. My parents did not live close to their parents. And I just kind of did my life and did my thing and moved very far away from central Canada is where I grew up. And I ended up here in Utah working at Weber State. And I was very happy. And I don't think I put much thought into it until I started having children. And then when I had my children, I desperately wished I was close to my family. And that was when I was like, oh, if I had the chance to go back and do this all over again, I might have made different choices. I don't know. I have told my children that. I told them, I'm like, I wish I stayed close to my family. I wish I had not moved so far away. I wish I could see them more often and connect more closely. And so I'm crossing my fingers. Mine are still 13 and 14, so they're under my roof still. So we'll see where they end up.
Oh, I hope that you get to have that. And I completely understand the flying the coop thing. That was just something that, you know, my father's parents sent him away to prep school when he was a kid. So he left home, left the state when he was 13 or 14. And they did the same with us. It was just what they did. But when my kids came of age, the thought of sending them away at that age was impossible under no circumstances. But how do you understand this, Luz?
Well, my mom died when I was 8 and my dad died when I was 37. If I could live close to them, I would. And when I was raising kids, it does have a lot to do with when you're raising kids, because it really takes a village. That's when you really realize how important having, you know, a number of people around to support your family are. But my son lives 750 miles away and my daughter is about to move 800 miles away. And I'm really sad about it. But as a parent, you have to let them go and do the things that will develop them as professionals and as people. And of course, it would be great if we could all live really close to our moms. And so I'm sure that those who can do.
Yeah, and I had that exact experience when I had children, which I had late in life, in my early 40s. My mother was just too ill to travel at that time, and my father was caring for her. And so I don't have any siblings live here. And so my husband and I had that real challenge of taking care of little ones at a time when you could really use help. I highly recommend having family if you have that option. Well, we're recording this program the week before Thanksgiving, and I wanted to just bring this up in case you had a thought about this. I had a conversation with Boyd Matheson earlier this week. I just adore Boyd. And he was talking with us on the day that the president did that annual thing of pardoning a turkey. And he said, as we watch this take place, I want to say, why don't we all pardon someone today? Why don't we? I mean, is there someone in your mind who you are hanging on to resentment for? Why don't we all let that go? And while we're at it, hope that someone pardons us as well. Does that speak to you at all, Michelle?
It does. And I'm very bad at this. I don't think, like, I know sometimes people say when you don't forgive somebody, you end up living with it and it's controlling more of your life than maybe it should. And I don't think I'm bad about that part. I'm really good at putting things in their boxes and closing them and not letting them interfere with the rest of my life. But I don't think I'm very good at going and forgiving people. I think I'm good at forgiving people if they ask for it, if they're genuinely sorry, but that's easier. If somebody, you know, would like to have you forgive them, it's easier to have that conversation. I think the hard ones are when the other party maybe doesn't acknowledge that even anything mm-hmm. negative has happened, and you somehow in yourself have to come to resolution with that and forgive them. And I'm not very good at that.
That is so hard. You are not alone in not being good at that.
If somebody apologizes, then yeah, I can. If somebody apologizes, I am very quick to forgive. It's the people who are like, that never happened that way. That wasn't like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I have nothing to apologize for. In fact, you should apologize to me.
I'm very good at putting it in a box and not letting it interfere with the rest of my life, I think. But forgiveness is hard. Yeah.
What do you say, Charlotte?
You know, I heard Boyd say that. I was listening to the radio. I think I must have been headed to lunch or something that day, but I was listening in and I thought that was profound. I loved what he said, and it really caused me to think about my situation. And it reminds me of, this probably happens to all of you, but somebody will come to me and say, I remember when you said this or you did this, and I can't remember it at all, but for some reason they remember it. And so I put myself in that position where I'm offended by somebody and I think they probably don't even remember they've said something or done something. They don't even know they've offended me. And I liked what he said. You only have to forgive one time, but you have to remember over and over again when you hold a grudge.
I want to get your thoughts on this, Liz. I need to take a quick break. I'm going to come right back to you as soon as we return. This is A Woman's View on KSL News Radio. Don't go away.